Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10. Prahlad, the best amongst the exalted devotees, text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam. Purushaya Mahatmane. Hariyed Bhuta Simhaya. Brahmane Paramatmane. Om, my Lord. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. Bhagavate. Unto the Supreme Person. Tubhyam. Unto you. Purushaya. Unto the Supreme Person. Maha Atmane, unto the Supreme Soul, or the Super Soul. Hariye, unto the Lord who vanquishes all the miseries of devotees. Adbhuta Simhaya, unto your wonderful lion-like form as Nrisimhadev. Brahmane, unto the Supreme Brahman. Paramatmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person, in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport, in the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj has explained that a devotee can achieve the platform of Bhagavatva. Bhagavatva. Being as good as the Supreme Person. But this does not mean that the devotee loses his position as a servant. Pure servant to the Lord, although his opulence is the Lord, is still meant to offer respectful obeisances to the Lord in service. Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in pacifying the Lord, and therefore he did not consider himself equal to the Lord. He defined his position as a servant and offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Text 11. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "My dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu." Purport, one Manu lives for a duration of time calculated to be an aggregate of 71 yuga cycles, each of which equals 4,300,000 years. Although atheistic men like to enjoy material opulences, and they endeavor with great energy to build big residences, roads, cities, and factories, unfortunately they cannot live more than 80, 90, or at the utmost 100 years. Although the materialist exerts so much energy to create a kingdom of hallucinations, he is unable to enjoy it for more than a few years. However, because Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee, the Lord allowed him to enjoy material opulence as the king of the materialists. Prahlad Maharaj had taken birth in the family of Hiranyakashipu, who was the topmost materialist. And since Prahlad was the bona fide heir to his father, the Supreme Lord allow him to enjoy the kingdom created by his father for so many years that no materialist could calculate them. Devotee does not have to desire material opulence, but if he is a pure devotee, there is ample opportunity for him to enjoy material happiness also without personal endeavor. Therefore, everyone is advised to take to devotional service under all circumstances. One desires material opulence, he can also become a pure devotee, and his desires will be fulfilled. as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Akama sarvakamo va mokshakamu daradi divrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires emergence into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. After hearing so much about how it's foolish to desire anything material, now we're hearing that if you're going to be foolish, you might as well be foolish in Krishna consciousness. The idea is akama sarvakamo va mokshakamo daradi. If you desire anything, at least ask Krishna for it. It doesn't mean that desiring something is beneficial. Especially Prabhupada said if you want to desire things in the world of hallucinations, then at least dovetail the desire in Krishna consciousness. Then there's some possibility of experiencing Krishna consciousness, and therefore one will no longer desire anything material. In the absence of Krishna consciousness, everything appears to be possibly desirable. But when one actually becomes Krishna conscious, then vishavanivartante niraharasidehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. That the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. As a matter of fact, when the soul is restricted from sense enjoyment, then the sense enjoyment looks much more beautiful, much more potentially enjoyable than when the soul doesn't actually experience it. Just like we may imagine what a piece of cake tastes like, and therefore we are even more hankering for it. We go crazy thinking about what it could taste like. But then when you taste it, you think, well, I just wasted my time. Maybe it's that glove gem over there that I better try. Like we have the experience when we have a big feast. I don't know if you ever had a real big feast here, but in some temples they have like, they prepare like 1,008 preparations for like Janmashtami. Did you ever have that?
Not 1,000, but a few hundred.
Few hundred. You think, wow, we're really going to enjoy today. And then you have, you know, maybe 100 preparations on your plate. You eat 5 of them, and after a while, they all taste the same. The red one tastes exactly like the blue one and the orange one. You think, I can't enjoy. And then you suffer more, not because the food doesn't taste good, it's because you can't enjoy. You're so much anxious to enjoy and you're not enjoying. And all the objects of enjoyment are right there, but you can't enjoy them. So think, wow, my life is wasted. What do I got to look forward to now? So the whole idea is actually it's enjoyable to be Krishna conscious. But that, the Tevidu Swarthikatim Hi Vishnu, but one has to become Krishna conscious to realize that it's enjoyable to be Krishna conscious. And even if one is fortunate enough to become partly Krishna conscious for some time, still one may forget the next moment what it was actually like to be Krishna conscious. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has advised us that it's a good idea to remember the highest points of our Krishna conscious experience. Because in spiritual consciousness, if you can remember your spiritual experience, then you'll experience it again to whatever degree you can remember it. In the spiritual world, if you eat a sweet, rasgul or something, then you enjoy it. And then when you remember it, you also enjoy it even more than when you ate it. You don't have to worry about digesting it. But it becomes, every moment you remember it, becomes more and more enjoyable. Now, that's not the same thing in the material world. If you take a gulab jamun, you have one. You may enjoy it. If you take two, the enjoyment gradually sinks, lessens and lessens, until when you see a gulab jamun or rasgul, your lips turn with disgust. You think, how did I ever try to enjoy that thing? Therefore, Krishna, as it says, yasyanu grahami kurishe taddanai shanai, that when one is actually very much anxious to enjoy the material world, then Krishna usually takes away all one's material opulence so that one is bereft of any opportunity to enjoy. And of course, all the relatives desert one. As Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, once said to Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, he said, before I was famous, no one knew me. No one cared about me. But as soon as I became a famous fighter, then suddenly I got relatives I never even heard of. From parts of the family I didn't even know existed. And suddenly everyone was my friend. So material life doesn't mean that everyone actually loves us. They love to exploit us. All in the name of society, friendship and love. Of course, sometimes that exploitation takes on forms which are more in the mode of goodness or a little bit more sophisticated. Prabhupada said in the forest, there are so many animals. There is the tigers and the lions. They're considered to be somewhat uncivilized amongst the animals. No deer or antelope or giraffe likes to associate with the tigers. They're not good association. And therefore, there's a whole group of animals who are vegetarian. They follow the regular principles. They don't chant Hare Krishna, though. And we may consider them to be nice animals, a nice deer, just like we have a dog. People love their dog. Ooh, foo, foo, ooh, I love you. Poo. But these are animals. Dirty animals full of fleas. But out of illusion, we think, oh, this is a nice animal. Prabhupada gives the example in India. The dogs, they also come and lick your face. But actually, the Indian dogs are not so domesticated. They're hungry dogs. And they lick your face, your nose, to see if you're alive. And if you're not alive, then they bite off your nose, to begin with. It's the delicacy before the other dogs get it. Crunchy. So we may think, oh, Fifi, he loves me, he's licking my face. But he could be testing. See if you're moving or not. So people have some conception in the material world of what's love, what will actually make me happy, what is actually desirable. And therefore, sometimes Krishna fulfills those desires so we can realize that we're just wasting our time. Many times they have candy in different colors. It's all the same candy, just different color. And people are just like they have cotton candy. They have cotton candy here sometimes. Cotton candy. Yeah, it's this bunch of sugar blown up. They have that here? And they have a colored purple and orange. It's exactly the same taste. But you're imagining, oh, this is orange cotton candy. This is orange air. This is purple air. So material life is like that. We're thinking that this taste is actually going to satisfy me, but it's the same taste. Punak punas charvada charvanaranam. But sometimes Krishna allows us to fulfill it. It's like that story of the chaste lady who had a husband who was crippled. And he became attracted to a famous prostitute. And he became mad, desiring to enjoy her. But he had no money. So his wife, being very chaste, went to the house of the prostitute and became her faithful maidservant. And then finally the prostitute recognized the faithful wife and said, what are you serving me so nicely for? So she said, well, actually my husband wants to enjoy with you, and in order to help him, I decided to become your faithful servant. So she said, just bring your husband. And then the prostitute said, yes, let's enjoy, but let me serve you some sweet rice. So she serves sweet rice in a golden pot and in an iron pot. And she says, tell me, which of the sweet rices taste better? And the man said, they both taste the same. So she said, well, what do you think, that sex life is better in one place and better in another? It tastes the same, either one. And then he realized that his faithful wife was, this prostitute had taught him that actually he was just wasting his time. That his wife was so faithful that she actually deserved his attention. So the material world exists as an illusion, the hope for enjoyment. The enjoyment may be insignificant, but the hope for it causes one to grow crazy. The expectation is even better, is much more intense than the actual experience. Therefore, kama krodha vimuktanam, or yehi samsparshita bhoga, dukkha yona evate, adyantavanti kontiya nateshu ramate buddha. An intelligent person, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are caused by contact with the senses or their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. Of course, Krishna doesn't immediately, that's only one verse. Before that he says, a whole group of verses. Budhya vinayash, budhya vishaya, budhya vishudhya yukta jitatmana niyamya cha. Shabda Dindvij, oh, that's wrong also. One's when faith, one's intelligence, tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gajyanyapana, avritim, jnana niruddha kamacha. One's faith, mind, refuge, and intelligence are all fixed in the Supreme. Then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgiving through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. And what's the taste? Vidya vanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastani shuni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshana. The actual taste is in relationships. In the spiritual world, there are so many activities, but the center of all the activities is love, relationships. And on the basis of love, there is an exchange of so many things. There's exchange of food, there's exchange of words, there's exchange of glancing, there are so many exchanges, but all based upon love, loving exchanges. And that's that produces transcendental pleasure. And here also, people are cooking, they're working, but it's all supposed to be based on loving exchanges, personal relationships with people. Because nowadays people have lost the sentiment of relationship, and therefore they're only interested in the external. You can see that in the movies. You see the old Indian movies, and they last for hours, and they're all, about glancing and relationships and feelings and, very subtle nuances of different types of emotions. And Indians can watch it for hours. Nowadays, the Indian movies, the hero walks in, he has a dagger in his teeth, two guns, and immediately kills five or six people just give us an introduction to the plot. And for the rest of the time, he's just mowing down people as if, you know, it's just a completely normal day in a hero. Kill 15, 20 people in a day. That's when you're lazy. And people think, take that as existence, as life, as something which is enjoyable to watch. The highest emotions, torturing people, being tortured. So as people have, as one gets into the mode of ignorance, so the taste of the material energy goes down and goes down into the mode of ignorance. And one is happy to see others unhappy. That's why newspapers sell. People want to find out how miserable everyone else is. That will make them happy. They think, well, I might be miserable. My God. I'm not as miserable as these people are. So I'm quite happy. The purport is that we should get some taste for material existence. But we should also, and therefore be able to give it up. Yahaya tera jita sarge yesham samye sitamanak nidosham hisamam brahma tasma brahmani tesitaha. That those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman. They are already situated in Brahman. So, the perfection of material existence is realized it's all the same. And therefore, in the prarishat priyam prapya, no dvijat prapicha priyam, stira buddhira samudo brahmabhid brahmani sthitaha. Person who doesn't rejoice when he attains something pleasant, nor laments upon attaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, unbewildered, and knows the science of God, said to be fully established in self-realization. In other words, this equanimity is so important. And then, by us, parasheva saktatma vindat yatmini yat sukham, sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. That such a person is not attracted to external sense objects, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So actually, the perfection of studying the Bhagavatam is to reach the conclusion that there's no greater happiness than Krishna consciousness. And the greatest illusion is to think that there's something better than Krishna consciousness. We just accept or experience Krishna consciousness and realize that there's nothing better than that, then all our problems will go away. Yehi samsparsha boga duga yona evate adyantavanta kontiyanate shuramate buddha. An intelligent person doesn't take part in the causes of misery, which are due to contact with the senses or objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. So that's the Bhagavatam. King, what was his name? Wasn't it? Had Dhanishta and Sharma as his wives. His son was Yadu. Was that no? Yayati was his. Yeah, it could have been Yayati. No, the king was. He was the one who. No. He was a king, and he. Sharmista threw Devayani into the well. Devayani was, actually she was the Brahmin, and Sarmishta was the Kshatriya. And her father gave her, I guess maybe it could have been Yayati, gave in charity. Anyhow, Yayati, when he married Devayani, Sarmishta came as the servant. Because Sharmista threw Devayani in a well And then this king came along and took her out of the well. And because he took her hand, therefore he was obliged to marry her, Devayani. But her idea was she, when she was going to get married, her rival, or supposedly her friend, Sharmisa, was going to come as her maidservant. But she told the king, you can't touch him, touch her, although she's a maidservant. But anyhow, he got a child. Sharmisa came to the king and said, you know, I really need a child. So there was some relationship, and then Devayani became very angry and went to her father, Shukracharya. Shukracharya cursed, what's his name? Yayati. So it was Yayati. But who was the king? He wasn't the king, though. Maybe he was the king. He was the king. Yayati was the one who took her out of the well, Devayani. Anyhow, whatever, it was some king. So then he cursed her. Shukracharya cursed him to become impotent. Then he realized, wait a second, this is not a good idea. My daughter's going to suffer. So he said, you can give your curse to one of your children, one of your sons. So he gave it to Puru, and he enjoyed with Devayani for many, many thousands of years, actually. One day he realized, wait a second, we've been trying to enjoy for thousands of years, and I'm in the same place I was when I started. We're just wasting our time. And Devayani said, yeah, we're just wasting our time. And then he gave his youth back to Puru, and he became old, retired into the forest, and became Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada said, that's the material existence. The relation between the she-goat and the male goat, that's material existence. Just trying to be enjoying the material world. And ultimately, winding up the same frustrated position when you started. And if one can realize that, then one becomes perfect. Then he has no more problems in material existence. So that one little lesson, not so easy to learn. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna vidara vinde nava navarasa daman yudyatam ratimo sut asit tadavadi nari sangame smaryamane bhavati muka shusti Vikara Vishusti Nistivanam Ja. Jamunacharya prayed that I was had so much opportunities to enjoy for so many years, but now that I've become Krishna conscious, now whenever I think of that so-called enjoyment, my lips curl in disgust. So, the idea is not just to curl our lips in disgust, but actually get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness through hearing and chanting, and therefore experience the happiness that can come from spiritual life and therefore lose the attraction from material life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Of course, today is Shobhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disappearance day. Rather, this is the latest I've ever... Usually it's in December. But we had an extra month this year. So Shobhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he was a Naishtika Brahmachari. Spent his whole life as a Brahmachari and then as a sannyasi and was focused on fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He spread Krishna consciousness extensively in India and he tried to send his disciples to Europe, especially England, but somehow or another they weren't very successful. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's most successful disciples to fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's are Srila Prabhupada, who's able to present Krishna consciousness in a way that's understandable even to us. If one reads Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's discourses, and sometimes it's very difficult to understand. As a matter of fact, it appears that he spoke in such a way that most of his disciples couldn't understand. But he also was trying to impress Westerners that we're simply not sentimentalists. We also have a philosophy. And therefore he spoke in a very high way to show that even, or to present our philosophy in an English language in a way that would be impressive to even Westerners. But, besides that, he established so many of our programs, dioramas, festivals, translation of books, distribution, massive distribution of books. But he was, Prabhupada said that if one of his disciples would go and distribute even one book, then he would think that this was a very important disciple. And at the end, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, I think he initiated like 60,000 disciples, and he opened up, I forget how many temples in India, huge amounts, and established places of pilgrimage, and did it quite impressive. And besides his extensive writing, which is still available. And Srila Prabhupada is his instrument carried on the mission and spread Krishna consciousness all around the world, which was an incredible feat. And now we're struggling to maintain it. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? You're all set. Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.